Well, I wanted to speak to you this morning about forgiveness. Man, that's a tough one, isn't it? Forgiveness. I haven't spoken on this in a little while, and I really like to kind of focus on it at least once a year, you know, because we really need to forgive each other at least once a year, right? You know, get through this. And, you know, but in chapter 3 of Colossians, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to there, it's chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I'll read a little bit. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts in things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, with which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Man, I love that, don't you? "So therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with each other, and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in words or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God for the Father through Him." Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, Lord. Let us learn from it today. Lord, I praise You and what You're going to do, Lord. Let us leave here better than we came today, with more of Your Word in our hearts. Lord, I just thank You again for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul declares to us some rules of holy living here. He tells us, set your hearts and mind to heavenly things. That as believers, you died to self, and now Christ lives in you. And so, you know, that as a believer who died to self, and now Christ lives in you, right? I mean, Christ lives in you, so you're different than you was before, right? Amen? He says, put to death, like Christ, the fleshly nature of fallen man. And then he goes on and he lists these things. He said, sexual impurity, greed, and idolatry. And you notice, you know, a lot of times we tend to focus on certain things. We tend to focus more maybe on the sexual impurities. And we don't so much focus on the greed and the idolatry. But he doesn't isolate one. He puts them all together, right? If you notice that. He said, rid yourselves of these things. Rid yourselves of anger and malice and slander and filthy language. Boy, we hear that today, don't we, so much. That's easy. That's really easy, right? We can all do that. No problem. Every one of us, right? Raise your hand. You can live like that. You don't have to worry about any of that. So, but the Bible says God's chosen people. Which are who, right? Who's God's chosen people? He says, we put on and clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's the way we should be. And as if that's not enough, you know, that's not enough for us to grasp. He tells us, bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. That bearing with one another. Boy, that's another one. That just adds to it, doesn't it? Sometimes it's hard to bear with somebody, isn't it? There's some people that we call unbearable. Man, I don't know why I've heard that word so many times. But, you know, it's just, there's just life sometimes. There's things that just seem unbearable, and sometimes it's people. You know, that's one thing I struggle with as being a pastor, is dealing with people. And I don't mean that to be offensive. Because when you deal with people, you deal with everything that people go through in life. You do. I mean, you learn more than you really want to. You know? You're like, I've got enough stress in my own life. But by the grace of God, compassion, kindness, love, we can bear with one another. Amen? Does the Lord really mean that what He's asking us to do? I mean, does He really mean that? I mean, does He just say this stuff? I mean, does Paul write this stuff out there and just so, well, if you want to, you know? Or maybe today, but tomorrow may be different. Or maybe with that person, but not with this person. You know, but He says bear with one another. He's meaning all of us. You know, and I'm telling you, it's not always easy. He really means it. But yeah, Christ understands. Because, you know, He spent 30 years here on earth, 33 years here on earth, right? He knows all about our struggles. He knows what we go through. He's seen life. He knows what humanity goes through. I heard someone once said, a Bible in the hand is worth two in the bookcase. And a Bible stored in the mind is worth a dozen stored in the bottom of a suitcase. I thought that was good. I know He means it. He wants us to live that life. He wants us to put to death those things. And He wants us to put on these new things. He expects us to be obedient. There's another word we don't like. We haven't liked that word since we were in diapers. But, you know, He gives us the power and the strength to be able to do it if we just let Him. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it without His help. You know, Scripture usually, as a doctrinal statement, it has applications, and you cannot do one without the other. And if God told you to be holy but never told you to be holy, it would not be applicable in your life, would it? That doesn't make any sense, right? It'd be impossible to know what pleases God unless God told you what pleased Him. But that's what the Scriptures are there for. Because the Scriptures are there to tell you what pleases God. And if we are a people who love God and want to share in His glory, then we should be a people who want to please God. And when we please God, it means being obedient to what He says. Does that make sense? Set your mind and heart on the things above. Put to death those things that displease the Lord. Clothe yourself with new things, compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Forgive each other as God has forgiven you. Listen to what some of the Old Testament Scriptures say. In Isaiah 55:7, it says, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts, and let them turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on them, and to our God He will freely pardon. Psalms 130, but with you there is forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you. Matthew 6, 12 and also 6 through 15, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't, if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins." Luke 6:37, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." You know, if we want to just state the obvious here, you know, if you're in danger, or if you're in danger of harm, you do not put yourself back in harm's way, do you? He's not saying that we need a relationship with a person that's hurt us again. He's just saying we need to forgive them. Does that make sense? That's what I'm trying to say to you. The Lord doesn't expect us to put ourselves in a position that would harm us. If a person has hurt you and has passed on even, you still can find forgiveness in your heart, and God can set you free from the guilt and the anxiety in your life. Forgiveness is a process of getting rid of the resentment and anger for this perceived offense that happens. There's not one person here this morning I know that hasn't been offended by somebody. And if you're that person, just wait a little bit. It'll happen. I heard one preacher said, "If I haven't offended you tonight, just meet me at the back door. We'll get it over with." You know, the Scripture can be offensive at times. I mean, most of the time, with me even, I get mad over what sometimes I think I heard, or the way I think a person looked at me. I think that most anger that happens is fabricated in our minds. We blow it out of proportion. It's festering before, you know, we've even talked to somebody. And most of the time we're so mad we won't even talk to them. And they're this fabricated thing. And I know that I'm not alone. And I know that I've made mistakes. I've said the wrong thing. And I know that many of you have too. I've had my mouth engaged before my brain engaged. It happens, doesn't it? But you know, God offers us forgiveness. He offers that forgiveness to us when we sin against Him, and He expects us to show the same mercy and grace to others that have wronged us too. Amen. You know, you won't hear that from Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz. That comes from Jesus Christ Himself. There's power in forgiveness, and God desires that you be set free from the bondage of unforgiveness. I've known people to harbor bad thoughts and just for years and years and years, grudges against people, because they just wouldn't let it go. And they were in bondage over it. It kept them bound to this unforgiveness in their life. You know, it's a decision of our will. And I believe that from God's Word that it is motivated by our obedience and to God, and a command that God gives us, which is to forgive one another. And I believe forgiveness is a choice. You can choose to forgive or you can choose not to forgive. And God desires to forgive us each time we have a repentant heart, doesn't He? Each time. And God will forgive us. That doesn't come easy. Sometimes it's hard to admit that we've done something wrong. But God forgives us when we do. Amen? So how do we forgive when we struggle with forgiveness? It's by faith. It's by faith. We forgive by faith. We forgive by obedience to God's word and trust and pray that God will complete the work of forgiveness in our hearts. You know, and Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns." I like that scripture because he says he'll finish it on the day when Christ returns. It takes time sometimes, doesn't it? It's this ongoing process of Him finishing us. And as we grow and get closer to Him, we get stronger in our faith until that day comes. I believe God honors our commitment to obey Him and our desires to please Him and completes His work in our lives. I read a guy by the name of Ten Boom. Odd name. Corey Ten Boom. Said, "Forgiveness is to set a prisoner free and to realize the prisoner was you." I like that. We're imprisoned by our own selves. How do you know that you have forgiveness for the person or situation? When you have been set free from the anger and bitterness and resentment that previously imprisoned you. That includes forgiving ourselves. God has long forgiven us, but we sometimes don't forgive ourselves. People go and don't accept that you got to forgive yourself. Man, there's things that we've done in our lives that we have to forgive ourselves over. Can't take it back. We have to move on and move forward because guess what? Christ forgave you. And if He can forgive you, then we need to forgive ourselves. Have you forgiven yourself this morning of something? Is there something that you're harboring in your heart that you need to let go? Forgiveness is pardoning yourself. Forgiveness is letting go so that you can begin the path of healing. Forgiveness is understanding your worth to God. And our true worth comes from our relationship with Him. It's not about our appearance or performance or net worth. If we would just grasp that, I think criticism and words spoken to us harshly would just bounce off. I read somewhere greed is never getting enough, right? Worry is being afraid that there is not enough. We worry about so many things, don't we? We do. I worry that all kinds of things. And I'm like, Lord, I don't need to worry about these things. We want forgiveness from God, and He offers it freely every time we ask Him, and He expects us to forgive others so that we are not imprisoned by our words and actions and situations that are really beyond our control, things that can destroy our lives and our relationship with God. Unforgiveness damages your relationship with God, and unforgiveness alienates you from other people. Unforgiveness deters you from God's best for your life. You know, forgiveness rolls the burden gives it to the Lord. And He's like, cast your burdens on Me. Forgiveness is not based on the actions of other people either. Well, I'll forgive them when they... Who said that before? Well, I'll do this when they... But it's really not based on their actions. It's based on us first forgiving them. If you've been hurt and you want justice, man, don't we like revenge, don't we? We want to see people that hurt us get hurt. Isn't that terrible? You know, when you do that, you feel... I've felt that way a few times in my life. And it was miserable. You know, I thank God for the things that He's given me in my life. I thank Him for forgiving me of those times where I didn't deserve forgiving. I've had people hurt me. But I think about the mercy that God has shown me so much, and I think, you know what? God loves that person too. And if I can just do what, if I can just be like Christ for one moment and forgive that person and let those things go. And when you're able to do that, you see things from just a different perspective. I don't let things bother me any longer. I don't let things bother me. I could, but I don't. It's not that I don't get aggravated at times, but I think, well, I'm not going to let it go any further than that. You know, God's the one that makes things right. He's the one that makes things right in the end. And we're just here to have faith in Him. Pray for our enemies. Pray for the ones that hurt you. And I know some people have gone through some terrible things in their life. I mean, some just evil things have happened to them in their life. So many people in this world have dealt with that. People right here in our community, some in our church, have dealt with terrible things in their life. But because of what Christ did, we're able to get through that. And if we let Christ do that work in us, we're able to let those things go. I thank God for the good people He's put in my life. Just like what our good sister Joyce said a while ago. I thank God for our church. I thank God for the good people in this church and the good people in other churches and my good Christian friends that I have that are there for me. That are willing to listen and are willing to talk and are willing to be there when I need them. That's another message, the importance of our church family. So I'd say this morning, focus on the positive and not the negative things in your life or the negative things in this world, because we're bombarded by it everywhere we go. I mean, everywhere. You can't even go to McDonald's and get a cup of coffee. Yeah. Four sugars and no cream. I always get cream with no sugar. Man. Do you remember that? Did I tell you guys that? But you know what? I forgive that young lady. I do. I haven't bought coffee at McDonald's in a long time, but I forgive her. Yep. Oh, and those are little things, you know, but if we're able to let those little things go, you know, God can give us the strength to let the big things go too. Amen. I just laugh about it now and go on, I think, you know. My life, there's so much. That's good, Stormy. Amen. Really good. You know, when you choose forgiveness and reject bitterness, you will feel the peace of God that will come flooding over your life. It will fill you with freedom. You'll have that freedom in your life where just things don't bother you any longer. You can reach out to God and love again. He'll never fail you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always be there for you. There'll always be people hurting people. There'll always be until the Lord comes back. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. So just let Him do it. Just let Him do it. We don't avenge, we forgive. Amen. God does an amazing thing when He begins to heal you and heal me when we have broken hearts. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You for this wonderful friendship that I have with this church. Lord, bless each person that's here this morning. Lord, keep them safe. Heal their needs, Lord, and forgive them. Lord, I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.